This is CliffCentral.com.
Beep 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 beep.
Please be aware that this show contains crude and foul language. If you are sensitive to topics like science or religion, we cordially invite you to please fuck off now. Thank you.
Hello everyone, are you well? So am I. I'm here, it's Casper, I'm live. This is the Casper Radio Show, or the Casper Radio Show, or the Casper Radio Show. It depends on the language you are versed in. But I'm not going to play a strange little bit of music to start off. And c'est Michel Puccini, Jean de Fontainebleau in C minor. And after that, we will listen to this, which is... I don't know exactly. But it sounds nice. So, Christian, who is this?
These are Imagine Dragons.
You're right.
Hey.
How do you know that?
Because I told you to play it.
I know. He told me. I told him, I asked him, do you like Muse, Christian? And he said, and then he said, do you know Imagine Dragons? And I didn't know. So I checked, and it was actually released today.
Yes, this is the new album.
We love Imagine Dragons.
We stand Imagine Dragons. What's the album's name?
It's called Origins.
Origins.
Next one, I don't know, what is it called? Of Species. I don't know.
Who knows?
We don't never know. Never know.
We might never know.
Good morning, Bernard.
Hello.
Are you well, my darling?
Fantastic.
You look fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
You look like a little ice cream truck. With the stripes.
Okay.
You got stripes on.
Ice cream truck with stripes.
Well, you look like a little hairdresser mobile. I don't know.
That little spinny thing.
Candy stool or something.
I don't like that. Okay.
No. Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. I was trying to paint a nice picture.
Those mints. Those Christmas mints.
Yes.
Circular.
Your picture was abstract indeed. Mm.
It was abstract.
Modern art. Contemporary.
Can I ask you a very, very honest answer, Bernard?
He wants to ask you.
No, like you're staring into an abyss.
Yeah. No, there's not an abyss, there's a car. Bernard.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, listeners, Bernard asked me to paint a painting of him for his birthday, and I did months later, and I gave him a very, very strange painting. I've never heard from him since. I've never heard a word. So I thought it was very strange. Painting I made him. What did you think of
it? I love it. I really, really love it.
What did
I give
you?
To paint you a picture, when he gave me the painting, well, paintings, it's two. I'll describe it now. He actually set it up in his living room and then ran out of the house and said, okay, go look.
I was nervous.
But I love it. I love it. It captures my...
Two sides,
basically. Not my two faces. My two sides.
So can you paint us a picture of what you saw when you walked into the living room?
No. That was just like... He just basically put it against the wall so I can see.
Like, what is on the canvas?
But then say that. Not what did you see in the living room.
What is in the living room? The canvases.
The canvases.
So what do we see?
So he painted me as Bernard on the one.
Okay.
With bars running across the painting.
Oh, my God. That's like your stripes.
Yes, that's like my stripes. Oh,
see.
Full circle.
And the other one is Betty with the bars, like, broken open and bended. And so, like, I'm basically bursting out of my little jail.
Aww. Did you cry?
No. No.
Well, you cry. It's not that good a painting, is it?
But, you know, the way he... I've forgotten about that. The way he described it now, that's actually very... It sounds
that's
nice.
Very artsy.
It sounds nice.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Welcome to the Louvre.
And thank you.
What I appreciate it so much is a lot of people... Like, when I say to people, I'm actually shy, they're like, oh, no. It's like... It's literally acting every single day and pretending that I'm not shy. But I'm actually a very shy person. Mm. And, yeah, that painting captures that whole thing about me perfectly.
So well, I'm very happy, actually.
I really, really
love
it. I
was fishing and got a compliment.
You did.
Fishing for and got a compliment.
Now, I'm just saving, intent, for a frame.
Christmas is coming up.
Yeah,
just...
yeah, well, I love it. I can't frame. I'm sorry, I can't help you.
Is this...
What is this?
Muse?
This is the new Muse. No, it's not. Christian and I went to see...
The Girl in the Spider's Web.
The fourth book in the Michael Bonklevich...
In the Millennium
Quadrilogy. Lisbeth Salamander Quartet. Now, remember that Stieg Larsson died?
Yes.
After the first three books,
yes,
which was very successful. All three were made into Swedish movies, only one in English.
No.
Daniel Craig?
Yes, Daniel Craig. Rooney Mara? Was she in there? Because when I Googled it, Rooney Mara's name kept coming up.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's a
who's
actress.
Rooney Mara?
She played in 2017's Alien.
Oh.
Anyway, you may continue.
And thank you, Christian. And so we saw that. And... what is interesting is that Claire Foy, who you might remember from The Queen, she's the Queen in the Netflix series.
Yeah.
She plays Lisbeth Salamander, or Salman, what's her real name? I'm always saying Salamander.
Let's just go on a first name basis.
Lisbeth. She's playing Lisbeth, so she's playing Elizabeth II, and now she's playing Lisbeth.
She's got...
With a name like Lisbeth, I'll go with my surname.
Yeah.
Salamander.
And then Bernard and I went to see a movie called First Man.
The First Man, yeah.
That was about Neil Armstrong landing on the moon.
Okay.
And the wife of Neil Armstrong is played by Claire Foy.
No!
The Queen!
So you've had a had a Claire Foy filled week.
I am going to give judgment on Claire Foy.
Claire, if you're listening.
So, first of all, Christian,
hello,
tell me all about The Girl in the Spider's Web and don't spare us anything.
So, I did do some reading up on it because I was curious what the world thought of it. And my favorite review started with the line, even the tattoo is worse.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, that was harsh. That was harsh. The thing is, here's the thing. So I love the director. His name is Fede Alvarez. He did 2013's Evil Dead. He did 2015's Don't Breathe.
Oh, have you seen Bernard Don't Breathe?
No, yeah, I did. Sorry, I was just freaked out for a second.
That's a chair. That's a chair. It's been here this whole time.
I know, but the chair just moved by itself.
It's Kent.
No, Kent, I checked. Kent is about half a meter from
that's
the chair.
A ghost.
Okay, but it's a week after Halloween, so we can't really go into creepy stuff now, can we?
Okay, the chair just moved. Because I saw you went white.
Yes.
And your neck turned the right.
White.
What the fuck am I doing?
Literally. Yeah, anyway.
Okay, did you see Don't Breathe?
Yes, I did.
It was great, eh?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So he's the director
yes.
of that. Okay.
So I went in high expectations because he's really good at what he does. And it's like creating tension. He's really good at like creating like action set pieces. But unfortunately, in my opinion at least, I feel like the movie was so hell-bent on moving forward that it never... relished in moments, if that makes sense. Like that opening scene, for example, it's so fast. It's the scene, so she and her sister, they have a weird molesty dad, but it's literally 5 minutes in the movie.
Okay.
It's in the trailer, but it's like literally 12 seconds long because everything just happens so quickly.
It's very quick,
and the entire movie just keeps pushing forward like a runaway train, and it's really hard to kind of get settled into a scene when the scenes all last like a microsecond. Like they use it to like measure Higgs boson, like particles moving. It's so quick. And I think that kind of is to the detriment of the film, because there's a lot of scenes of supposed tension and supposed emotion, but it doesn't stay there. It doesn't take its time. It was almost like they were given like a time limit and they're like, fit this 500-page book into an hour and a half. Good luck, guys. But the cinematography, like, beautifully shot. What do you think?
I thought it looked beautiful.
Amazing cinematography.
And also nice, thought-out moments, like that bit of art they were watching with the fire.
Yes.
So the director took trouble to give us beautiful screen scenes.
He just needs a new editor.
Why?
Because the editor didn't allow those moments for me, at least, to breathe. Like, they were just next shot, next shot, next shot, next shot.
He's very fucking critical, eh?
Very.
Very.
I thought I was critical about stuff.
Like, I've never heard a description of give the scene time to breathe. I mean, that's deep.
I have an honors degree in this.
No, that's wonderful.
So I'm like, let me.
So I just want to say to people, don't be disheartened, because if you like James Bond and that is that kind of movie.
It's a very female empowerment, vigilante type movie. It's like Batman, but with a mohawk.
But it's also like the James Bond kind of baddie. But it's like the other Millennium movies,
yes,
but books, but it's just Mikael Blomkvist isn't really featured. It's more about Lisbeth.
It's a lot more about Lisbeth. So I think, like, go watch it if you enjoy these sort of action thrillers,
yeah,
especially like European, like, I don't know, there's like, I like seeing Sweden.
Yes.
It's such a beautiful country. Like,
I love
just
Sweden.
Everything is white and gray, and I'm like, give me that monochrome, like, it's so nice. But don't go in expecting 2000 and whatever's Skyfall. I don't know. Like, I think there've been better movies than this, but like, it's a good, I think, addition to the quadrilogy. Even though there's like two movies we skipped in the middle there.
Mm. Well, I've seen them. They were made in Swedish, though.
But like, in terms of the American version.
Yeah. That's right.
It's weird, right? It's weird.
It's weird.
We have like the first movie.
Why didn't they make the other two?
Daniel to.
The problem with this movie is, of course, is that it's acted with Swedish accent or Scandinavian accents.
Yes.
Which it presents a bit of a problem.
It's like, it's always weird when a country has a language and then it's Americanized and everyone all of a sudden speaks only English. Like,
but now it's the other way around. Did you realize that Lisbeth was trying to speak with a Swedish accent?
Yes, it's weird, but it's strange.
But the others are mostly, it looks like Scandinavian actors. Mm. I think.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
I definitely think.
You don't recognize. Those are Scandinavian people.
The white eyebrows definitely gave it away.
And I think Mikael Blomkvist is Scandinavian.
Do you think so?
I've never seen that guy in my life.
I don't know.
And I don't ever want to see him again. But okay, go check it up. There was a child who could have been better.
The child was rough.
It's a very big part.
And he tried.
He tried his fucking best.
He tried so hard.
Oh, shame.
Shame.
But I would, if you're bored, lonely, want to commit suicide, go watch it.
Yeah, I will at least extend your suicide by 2 hours.
Okay, well, I'm going to look up the soundtrack for, while you say the last words about the Lisbeth.
So, I mean, I've got something to say.
Say
I've got fun facts about spiders, because it's Girl in the Spider's Web. I thought that would be a great little segue. It would be cute.
Okay.
And it's going to be
and
fantastic.
From the spider, can you take us back to Neil Armstrong and the moon? Because that's where we must end.
I can find a segue there. So, I found this one interesting. Did you know spiders have blue blood?
No.
Yeah, so in human blood, the oxygen particles connect with iron, and that's why we have red blood. But with spiders, the iron is replaced with copper, and that's why they have blue blood.
Okay.
And you know what else is blue? The nighttime, and at night you have the moon that comes out. And it's funny that when the moon comes out, at some point we, the humans, we went there a couple of times actually.
We did.
So, please take it away.
It wasn't forced at all.
No, just very natural.
Smooth as ice.
Smooth as very hardened butter. Very good.
Like frozen butter.
Frozen. Who likes summer anyway? What? Listen. So again, here I sit, and here is Claire Foy again.
Does she, Claire, annoy you at this point?
Yes. Claire annoys me because I'm not going to say anything. I first want to speak to Bernard about this movie. First Man. What do you think, Bernard?
I loved it. I loved it. I didn't know the woman before.
The woman.
The woman.
Don't you watch The Crown?
Her name is Claire.
Until you said afterwards, it's the woman from The Crown.
You didn't recognize
her. Oh, okay, yes.
Oh, no, that's good for her.
Yeah. But freckled up.
She's got freckles. More stars in the universe than freckles on her, or other way.
Where's that from? Other way around.
Claire Foy.
Where's that quote from?
From the show.
From the show?
Yes.
No, I've heard it somewhere.
More freckles in the universe.
More stars in the universe than freckles on your face.
Okay. Something like, more freckles. Look it up. Maybe it's an original.
There's more stars in the universe than sand particles on Earth.
Far away from what I was. There's got to be.
Anyway, tell me about First Man. Was it? It was long, hey?
It was very long, but not in the way that I'm like, okay, it needs to end now.
I
wanted to see more the whole time.
Yes.
But it was very long. But I enjoyed every second. I'm not very clued up on the whole moon story, so it was interesting to see all the different facts and learn more about the story. And it was very informative, but in a very entertaining way. And shot beautifully. It felt like you were watching a documentary from that time. The filters they use and everything.
And the costumes and the makeup. Yeah, they all looked 60s.
It's like... And even the moon...
looked 60s.
It looked 60s. It was a beautiful movie. I enjoyed it. Yeah. But the woman...
Claire.
Clairvoyant.
Foy.
She annoyed me in the movie in a way that she was very aggressive the whole time. And I don't think his wife was like that. I mean,
Audrey, you don't know anything. You
don't
just
know,
said.
I'm just saying I don't think.
Okay.
I don't say she wasn't like that. I just think it's impossible to be that cold. Your husband is leaving forever, possibly.
She's preparing for space. There's no heat up there.
That was my only...
I see, I can be wrong, but it looks like it's on IMAX.
Ooh.
Oh.
And if it is, I want to see it again.
I would have loved to see it on IMAX.
I actually want to see it again on IMAX.
Okay.
So that's how much I loved it.
No, I love...
And didn't you think the music was wonderful?
Yeah.
Are we listening to the music right now?
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Do you know the director?
Guinea director.
And he does.
La La Land.
Yeah.
Damien Chazelle.
So
he's like in his 20s.
I know. I was extremely disappointed with La La Land because he copied from a lot of stuff that I knew. But this one, for the first time, I'm impressed by this guy. He's fucking young.
Didn't he also do Whiplash?
He did do Whiplash.
Whiplash was amazing.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, my
is it?
God. It's
is it?
Good.
Okay, I'll watch it.
I haven't heard of it.
The drama movie.
Yeah. But First Man.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. Claire Foy, although I must say, she uses the same high voice in both Salamander and Janet.
Maybe that's just her voice.
Armstrong, as she does in The Queen. Uh-huh. So that shows us that's her voice.
She's not putting on her voice.
I see Queen Elizabeth II in every fucking frame, in The Girl in the Spider Web and in First
In
Man.
The Spider Web, she's got
Elizabeth.
Like a punk rock face.
Yeah, but I see Elizabeth... with a punk rock face.
Lizzie.
Because she's got that high tone in her
Hello.
Voice. And that she's got to work on that with a vocal coach.
Yeah.
Because it really bothered me.
Does it bug you?
It bugged me. I could hear the Queen.
Ah. Oh, that's horrible. So
I would hear the Queen with an accent in the spider's web.
Oh.
And I heard the Queen with Midlife Crisis in First Man.
So, you've seen both movies. Which one would you recommend more? I feel like it's obvious, but let's do this little segment.
I am going to go and see First Man again.
Okay.
Either on IMAX or 4DX.
don't do 4DX.
I know you don't like 4DX. Bernard hates 4DX.
It's awful.
I did it once. I was like all excited because I love gimmicks.
Same.
And I went and I walked out with a headache.
It's like Sunday then, lunch. It overstays its welcome.
And then I'm like, there we don't feel the same. I love Sunday lunch. And I thought, okay, I'll go again. Maybe it was just an off day and I walked out with a headache again. Mm. Like, don't kick my chair because that's how it feels.
Yes. The lady next to me, the only time I ever went, bought coffee and she was trying to put the lid on while like the Iron Giant is like walking like, across the screen.
I did 4DX like at Gold Reef and theme parks and stuff like that.
But then they're only 30 minutes long and then you're like, before you get tired,
but
you're
2 hours?
Done.
Yeah,
it's shorter, yeah.
No. Mm-mm.
And the wind blowing in your eyes.
I love
it. I have contacts.
You see, you've got first world problems.
But then also what bothers me, it always takes me out of the movie because you hear the little pistons.
Gearing up, yeah.
And then the lightning, I'm doing it in air quotes.
The strobe effect.
Takes away the picture on the screen.
Yes.
What
the hell?
It's like someone is flashing.
Light in your
Yeah, but okay. Still, I love it. I know it's a bit too long. It's like a theme ride that goes on for too long. And with my stomach in the condition it is at the moment, I won't be able to do a 4DX.
Imagine trying to get up from a 4DX chair.
No, it will be soiled.
While it's
be
like
soiled.
Launching you.
No, it will be soiled.
You can't get up.
I will be soiled.
You're kind of committing.
Yeah. But I want to see this movie in IMAX. Do you want to?
Sure.
Let's go see it.
When I have a free afternoon. Kill me.
When you have a free afternoon, Christian, let's go see.
Let's go IMAX it.
Where is a IMAX? Cradlestone?
There's one.
And Mall of Africa.
Eastgate, I think,
Eastgate.
Has one.
And Eastgate.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yes, rather go see what, if you got time, go see First Man. Is it The First Man?
I think it's just First Man.
First Man.
Apparently.
Yes.
He said. Not that. I don't know what the hell that is.
That's ominous.
Apparently, yeah, very. Yeah. I don't know where they are. Maybe they are near.
We're now watching Arrival. Like.
No. Yeah. Yeah. It does. Same with the elephant. Apparently, he said, "It's a first step for a man," but that was out.
So you know the Mandela effect.
But a giant leap for what's the Mandela effect?
So it's this
for humanity.
It's one of those conspiracy theory things where it's basically collective mismemory, and it says like there's like that's ominous, but basically it says like a lot of things that we've seen in the past we're like, oh no, that's the quote or whatever, and then when we look back at it, it's not or like the movie everyone remembers doesn't exist. And
now that I know, like Play It Again Sam didn't ever happen.
Yes,
it's Play It Sam in Casablanca.
I think also like the line Lucy got some splaining to do. I think that line never exists. It's also like, oh, the classic one is in Star Wars where it's not Luke, I am your father. I think the line is just like, I am your father or something like that.
The Luke stuff. Okay, but this is not completely the same, Christian, because this is what Neil remembered. He said, I think I said it's a giant. It's one small step for a man. He think he said. But we heard... It's one small step for a giant leap for humans or whatever. That's just
the music kicks in.
But I quite like it's one small step for man. It makes sense.
One giant leap for mankind.
Yeah, but because man becomes then man with a capital M. Uh-huh. Yeah, so thank God for that crackle.
Yeah.
Who took out the A.
Yes. Because it's like, yeah, I hear what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
So, Bannock, will you go and see The Girl in the Spider's Web?
No.
We really didn't do a good job saying it.
I never watched any of the others anyways.
To be fair, neither. But, like...
I've read the books as well. They're
it's
wonderful.
It's not hard to follow.
Okay. It's James Bond, basically.
Jane Bond.
Yeah. Okay, enough
but
movies.
The O has, like, an umlaut on it because it's Swedish.
Yeah. So, we got a wonderful show today.
Oh, my God. Jam-packed.
It is jam-packed.
Who
is on the show today? We got Janice Honeyman, director and writer of the...
Just about every play for the last, like, 100,000
years.
Yes.
We got her for the first time. I'm actually going to speak more than 9 words to her, which is great. I'm looking forward to that. And we saw Snow White this week. We're going to talk about it with her. Yeah.
Did you see Snow White?
I did.
Oh, boy.
Like, in full...
glory.
3D.
Okay, but wait, we must wait for Janice. And then we saw...
That's about it.
We saw the planet of the first princess.
Oh, we saw
the little prince.
The little prince. Go see it. Yes. It's short, but sweet.
Yeah, it's just like an hour long.
Yeah.
And it's really cute. It's really cute.
I think I should get rid of this ominous music.
Yeah, shame. Yeah. This is supposed to be cute, like...
Go see the little prince.
I just need to find time between all my Matilda sessions to go see.
You
go during the intermission.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah, it's just an hour. Okay. So that was I can recommend it.
Yeah.
Hey.
It was. Can I say how the emotion I feel about it?
Yeah.
Is that a spoiler?
No.
It's really depressing.
I love depressing stuff.
If you love a good existential crisis on a Saturday night while watching children weep around you, that's the play for you.
And even better, if I see children cry, it makes my heart happy.
So you're going to have like a lot of mixed emotions.
You're going to be so happy.
Mm.
And, Bernard, and also, it's got a lot of life lessons.
It's got a shit ton, but it's also like, it's just like a reality check. Like, oh, by the way, we're all going to grow up and die.
Yeah.
And we're talking about Little Prince now, not Snow White.
No.
Because we mentioned both. So people don't like think.
Oh, this is music I chose now for you, Christian.
No, it's been a long time. I hear you're doing just fine. Graduated, got a job, and you've been working the grind. You're never looking behind. I know you never found me crossing your mind, but I'd be lying if you didn't cross mine. From time to time,
what
I
see some
of your depressing music,
apparently. Kindness and regards was hard. I left my heart on the line. I wrote a song for you. Took a couple months of my time. I can
what
you
is
raising
this?
Flowers
is this Eminem on a tranquilizer?
The link of Eminem Odyssey Dune for Hamilton.
Alexander Hamilton.
Okay, sorry, it didn't work. I wanted violin music and stuff like that, but it didn't quite work.
The silence is violent.
Mm. Oh, I had issues.
Yeah. Is he okay?
But it's not depressing music, me.
Tweet at Slim, the real Slim Shady. If you just check up on him.
Well, let us bring in our guest. We saw Snow White. Let's discuss Snow White with her. And while we bring her in, because we got 4.5 beautiful men who's going to bring her in on palms. And a crown. Let's
four
listen to
and a
this.
Half?
Yeah, what's that? 4, 5, 6.
7?
Hi-ho! Hi-ho! Hi-ho!
I don't know what happened there with the dwarves, but they were obviously not smooth.
It's a trap remix.
I
think they were in Compton or something, and they were just having like the time of their life. They had the
time of
their
lives. Okay. Mm. That was nice.
It was lovely.
Mm. I loved the Panther, and we are so honored to have Dame Janice Honeyman in the studio. Hi there.
Hi, I'll never play the Dame. I'm not a boy.
But you know what I mean.
What do you mean?
What if women take the Dame back and they start playing male roles?
It won't be as funny.
No, it's funny.
No. I think so.
You know, the prince used to be a girl in Victorian times. And when I first started Panto 31 years ago, the prince was a girl.
Ah.
It's not sexy. It's just not.
It's weird.
It's weird. The teenagers don't like it. They like a nice, hunky-chunky, yumptious, scrumptious fella.
And the gays.
Yes, we do.
Absolutely, everybody. and the sugar mummies.
Yeah.
They're like waving their 200 rand balls.
But do you think it was Victorian morals or something?
You know what it was? If you were a woman, talking about the Dame, if you were a woman, you were not allowed. You weren't allowed to make rude jokes. You know, it wasn't. However, if you were a man dressed up as a woman, you could be as risque as you like. And then the the prince being played by a girl was to get the dads into the theatre.
Ah,
so that they could show a bit of ankle, because men were not allowed to look at ladies' ankles, so they showed an ankle and a lovely waistline.
Because it's a man
slapping the thigh, so you could see a woman's thigh. So that was something for the dads, so that the rest of the family
amazing,
would go.
Eh?
Yeah.
Victorians and loopholes, man.
Yeah.
Janice, this one is really one of your best.
Oh, hey? Thank you.
It is fantastic.
Well, it's a wonderful team that we have. And somehow, if you practice makes perfect.
Yeah.
Well, not quite perfect. We're never perfect. But Snow White, as I said, was the first one. And this is maybe, I think, the fifth Snow White I've done.
Yeah.
And so one should know how to do it by now.
And to better it.
Yeah.
Because
it is
such a unique experience. There are things in there that I've never seen before in a theater. Things I dreamed of in my life. I thought I must wear clothes and give people glasses and maybe so I can see 3D. Now there is
3D what?
3D effect with like
if
I have like a red and blue on my clothes and give them the glasses or something. I was working on that in my head.
Yeah.
But then you came along and just spoiled it all. And we got a wonderful, wonderful 3D section in this.
Oh, amazing.
You must hear that.
The kids lose their minds.
You must hear me.
Oh, that was just you actually screaming.
I end up on the person next to me's lap every time, which I must say I enjoy.
With a spider.
With a spider and the snake. You know,
snake! No, it's really... And it's beautiful as well, little flowers. And I want to give it away, but you must go. Even if just to go to see that, which is not the only thing you have to see in the Snow White.
There's an ice rink.
Where
does that come from? Where should we give it away?
From the wings on.
It's fantastic.
Trundles on.
I felt.
That's why we have the dwarves doing that. It's wonderful. It's marvelous. Little number in front of that clock so that we can get the ice rink into
place. There's an ice rink, people.
Like, it's insane. Like, it's actually insane. Like, I'm watching this. I'm like, what am I watching? Where did that come from?
Exactly. And they're actually skating. And you think, okay, it's before the interval. So what are they going to follow this up with? And then they do.
Oh, they're like, oh. You're like, sweet summer child. You have no idea what you're about to see.
Loved the cast. Snow White. What a wonderful girl. Never seen her in my life.
I don't know if you remember an actress called Brenda Radloff, who then became Brenda Sakellaridis. She's played people like Evita. She's played a whole lot of wonderful Anna of Siam. She was from Durban originally. And this is one of her three very talented children. And she was at the School of the Arts over the road. And she's a great new star.
She is fantastic. Beautiful voice.
Mm.
Presence.
Yeah.
Totally believable as Snow White from the first second.
Yeah. And charming.
Mm. Charming. And then Prince Charming is also wonderful. And what an entrance.
Yeah.
I got, what do you say that in Afrikaans? Goose.
Chills. Goosebumps. Ek het
hoenderhol gehad. It was so nice. He is so nice. So perfect.
Oh,
and how perfect for South Africa.
Oh, God, I love that.
I love it.
I always try and do something like that, that either the prince or whoever's coming along, or the main female character has got a very South African aspect to him.
Mm.
And the more we use overseas sets and costumes, which we do, and financially, I don't know how it works, but it seems to be the best financial arrangement. Mm. But they are very British. I just hoy more and more and more South African stuff into the script, and more topical references, more local songs.
It feels very South African.
To make it feel South African.
I mean, Dame Dolly is magnificent.
Yeah. Oh, Desmond.
Oh, yeah, when I gave him a standing O.
Yeah, we were standing. Yeah. Like, by the
end.
Yes!
He was so good.
He deserves it. It's his sixth or seventh Pantomime. But you can see it.
He knows what he's doing. It was absolutely...
He can get the whole crowd on his side, like, immediately. Yeah. It's amazing.
He is wonderful and so
funny. Ben Voss.
Yeah.
The best evil queen I've ever seen in my life.
You hear?
Wasn't he just...
You hear? The bestest. The best. Ben Voss is fantastic.
Yeah. Amazing. Normally when men play a queen or some evil character, somewhere they lose their voice or some in the character or in the play. Not once did he drop the character.
Except when I very specifically said to him, now this you do as a man. When you're really, really angry.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Just that terrifying...
That came across.
Out. Get out. Was a man's voice and the man's strength. And he's fantastic. He's a very, very good actor. His comedy timing is so excellent.
He is brilliant.
And he's had lots of practice with his beauty. Rama Pela Pela.
Yeah, which I've never seen. I've never seen the Mambas as well. So this is the first time I've seen him in action. Yeah. And I'm very impressed.
Yeah. Many years ago, I actually was initiated with him. He came and asked me to do it, and he came and spent 2 weeks with me in Pringle Bay in the Cape, and we created Beauty.
Oh.
And I sort of directed him a little bit in that, and he did it, and then has gone on from strength to strength without me. He does it himself, and he's wonderful at it. But when we were doing Beauty then, I thought to myself, one day I'm going to make you play the dame in a panto.
You saw that potential. Yeah.
Once you pop, you can't stop.
Yeah.
Pringle Bay, it's funny.
I get it.
Don't say yes like that.
Maybe you should get him to write some panto jokes.
What do you mean? Then I've got to pay him royalties. What do you mean?
True.
I already have to pay Julius Malema and Zuma and all sorts of people royalties.
Forget my suggestion.
Yeah.
Never mind.
But so you laid the foundation for Beauty, basically.
Well, with him, it's his idea. Oh, he just got me to help him along.
That's amazing to know.
Yeah.
Strong cast. Wow.
Amazing.
And then you got the old classic music, that even the Snow White cartoon music, there. And then we got the new relevant music, that like it works in a panto. And that all works beautifully. It was... I was very, very happy. Because sometimes with the panto, there's a hit and a miss. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This one, I was overawed. Yeah. Is that the word?
It was like the music choices was really stunning.
It was hit after hit.
Every single song. Even the current songs that was used in such a way that it still worked. It wasn't forced or, okay, we have to use this hit now and push it in there. And it all just flowed beautifully.
Sorry. There'd been one or two years where we've chosen too many local, not local, but current hits.
Current hits,
Then it doesn't work for the adults. Classics. It doesn't work. Yeah. It only works for a small age group. Whereas with this one, I was very insistent that we use some of the original Disney
and
some of the romantic, and you know that funeral scene.
That was cry material.
No, of course it was.
Yeah.
It has to be. And a good panto always has room for tears so that the happy ever after can work better.
Yeah.
If you've cried, you can laugh more.
Yeah.
And can we give a special mention to whosever idea was it to do that Lion King moment?
Yes.
I was literally on the floor.
Yeah. It was fantastic. And I'm trying to think, we used that music in the previous Snow White, but the whole putting it together as, you know, with the Sangoma and all the rest of it.
Mm.
And I certainly wanted that full African entrance. But I think it was probably Nicole Sheraton and Timothy LaRue who got the... Absolutely, those gazelles jumping across
the sun coming up and everything. It was brilliant.
How's it going with bookings? Because this ought to sell out.
That's something I never look at. I leave that to the management.
And what is management? Colette is shaking her head up and down. What do you say in English? Say knick, up and off.
Yeah, that is English.
She says it's going well.
Yeah. No, it's going well.
I'm glad because this one... Because this one deserves, you know, full houses. Yeah. It's so good. It's a tough regime you put them through. Sometimes you do 3 shows a day.
Yeah, do you know what has happened consistently for all the years we've been doing panto? Is that every actor loses between 1.5 and 2 kilos per run. We always have to do costume fitting, re-costume fittings. Want hulle sweet, hulle werk, hulle klein gaatjies af.
Ek hou daarvan om dit te hoor.
Yeah.
Because we're going to talk about something later.
Yeah.
There's one thing that I've got a problem with, because there were whites in the panto, and you said Snow White. And there were white. Joke, Snow White. There's Snow White. Okay. Now.
Okay. And there is a line.
This isn't our time. When not somebody all jokes says.
Oh, somebody was it?
The dwarfs ask, are you Snow White? And she says, Snow White.
I missed that. Shit. I'm sorry about my horrible joke, which I thought was original.
You were looking at something else.
Have you seen my dog?
I want to put my your dog on my lap, Ron. She's your winchy. Come. Buttendy. Hello, darling. How are you? Hello. That's a pretty person.
Look at her. Don't look at me. Why are you such a shy child? No, don't do her. Don't come to me.
He's looking to check if it's okay with Daddy to be flirted with. Come flirt with Auntie Janice. Come.
Flirt with Auntie.
Poopany,
no, actually very nice.
Poopany, sneakany, poopany, wappany, come to mummy.
Oh, I think he's shy.
Had a hard morning.
But do you like animals?
Are you mad? If I wasn't a director now, because I failed maths in JC.
I failed maths,
and so I couldn't go on to do a science degree. And so I was not able to be a veterinary surgeon. I was going to be a vet. And I had to find something else to do because I couldn't do science. And so I took specialized literature. And the next thing that happened, I was in drama school. And the next thing that happened, I was directing. So had I not failed maths, I would have been a vet, and I love animals.
There's a beekeeper
ain't
joke,
it miskin? Yeah. Miskin meer as mehesa? I don't know. I've got three dogs of my own and a late kitty, and I'll have to get another one of those.
Janice, every now and then we need a good story to warm our hearts, and if it involves a beloved pet, then it's even better. We're going to all prepare ourselves for a lovely session of some warm fuzzies brought to you by Revecto. Janice, can you please tell us a lovely pet story or animal story in general?
I've got so many, I don't know which to choose, but I'll talk about my own little babies at the moment, who are my children. One is Sophia De Formosa, the 20th century fox. And she's a little brocky from the township in Claymont, near Claymont.
What, it's mixed breed?
Like she's like a brocky with, have you dyed black and tan with little thin legs, and then often they put on weight in the middle?
Yes.
She's one of those with big bat ears. Yeah. And she, now when we drop people, when I am in Pringle and I take people back to the township, she sits in the front seat of the Mercedes-Benz, my dear. And she criticizes everybody. She just barks and says, excuse me, you, I don't know you anymore. So she, then there's George Ashley de Villiers. George is a cross Maltese Terrier. I call him Maltese Terrorist because he is. And he's called George because I was doing a production of Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf at the time, and George is the main male character. Ashley, because that was his rescue name from the Claymont Animal Welfare. And de Villiers, because he was the son of a drug addict who was picked up on a Villiersdorp rubbish dump. He stayed a bit of a scavenger and a bit of a chum all his life. But he's lovely. Adore George. And then, of course, there's Toffelux Ganguly. That's Toffy, and she's an Irish setter, thoroughbred, the daughter of my brother's dog, and she has eight brothers and sisters. And she is called Toffelux Ganguly because she's the color of toffee. I love Toffelux. Hill is fattening. My muni warini. And then also Ganguly because I'm a cricket freak. I love cricket. And Ganguly was a very good cricket player at the time that Toffee was born. He was I think he was Sri Lankan, wasn't he? He's either Sri Lankan or Indian. But anyway, Ganguly was a great name anyway.
That's a great name.
Yeah.
And the cat was Olive.
The cat didn't have such an intricate name. She was Olive. And shame, you know, you've got Mesmutnit Eto. She got kidney failure. And they said, your cat's got about 2 weeks to live, maybe 2 months at the most. Yeah. 22 months later, we eventually had to put her down.
She kicked it
for 22 months, and she was fantastic. She had a happy life, lovely, loving. Of course, Sophia de Formosa, the 20th century fox, just before we took her to the vet to have that injection.
Yeah.
Bit her, chased her off the blanket and stole her bed, which I thought was about typical of the chum. That's very chum. Yeah, it is. I mean,
very chum.
I've got millions of stories, but I won't tell them all now. Just to say that I love them.
There's breaking news here, if I can just say, that Sourav Ganguly is an Indian cricketer.
Indian
cricketer. So though we know that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We learn a lot.
Yes. So.
And if he was Indian, because the Indian cricketers are the chaps they are, he's probably pretty bloody handsome.
They're always handsome, eh? Especially when they're young.
Yeah, yeah.
But have you tried Bravecto on your pets? Do you know what I'm talking about? No.
I have tried Bravecto on my pets, and living in Pringle Bay a lot of the year, we have to make very, very sure that they don't get fleas and ticks on them, because
it's the best, Janet.
Yeah.
Well, Janet, I said. It's the best,
no,
Janet.
That's Susman, darling. I'm honey.
I was so in awe of Bravecto that I've got Janet, honey girl here.
Honey person, excuse me, not honey man, honey girl, honey person.
Gender neutral.
Yeah, neutral.
That one.
This animal story was brought to you by Bravecto, the tasty treat that protects dogs against ticks, fleas, and mites for 12 weeks.
As much as you love your furry friend, you forget to treat him for ticks and fleas monthly. But now there's Bravecto, a chewable remedy that lasts 12 weeks. There's no residue, so he's ready for hugs right away. And if he loves water, well, that's okay too. With 12 weeks of tick and flea protection in a single tasty chew, you'll say bravo to Bravecto, and so will your pet, in his own way. Visit your vet or vet store or bravecto.co.za to find out more.
But just in case you forgot, Janice, Bravecto does a whole bunch of crazy things.
They can swim.
They can swim. Can your dog swim?
Well, yeah, of course my dogs swim.
Yeah, they love it, eh?
Yeah, they go. The lagoon is their best. Toffee fishes in the lagoon. And of course, once you've given them Bravecto, they can
swim.
Swim. With this other one that you put on their head,
they're going to wash off.
They can't swim for 2 or 3 days, which is hell to try and keep them out of the water, because they love it.
That's awful.
And this, I had a German Shepherd who died recently.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I'm also with you. I like dogs much more than people. Yeah. And you didn't say that, but you were hinting.
But I
love animals. And so she died, and she was very clever, and she's performed on stage with me and everything.
Getting a bit emotional.
Not at all. Not at all. And she loved the sea.
Yeah.
So every time we were touring, I took them with Kent and
I see
Frieda.
The profile picture on WhatsApp.
So she was like shouldering the waves, going in. And so you know that nothing will wash off, because this Bravecto thing is inside the body.
Yes, it's like a treat, then you feed it to the dogs.
They eat them. They just like yumshy, scrumshy, and it's gone, boy. You don't have to force it down their throat.
No, it's like a little toffee.
Yeah.
Caramel toffee.
Yeah.
Have you tried it?
I have.
You really shouldn't.
Can you see a tick on me, Christian?
No. It seems like they've all fled. I'm trying to do a flea stroke. But it also lasts up to 12 weeks.
Sorry, I got you.
And what's neat is they can still feed their babies. So they can have it while lactating.
Yeah.
And it's okay for puppies that are just a couple of weeks old. So just any age.
Yeah.
So at any point in their life. They can be like, Bravecto it up, yo.
Bravo, Bravecto.
So Bravecto came in a couple of years ago only because of science. Before Bravecto, let's go through all your animals. Who was your favorite?
My favorite.
Yeah,
animals.
Is one of those I can't say my favorite child?
No.
I have a favorite.
I'm not saying about my favorite now, although I know exactly who did. But I had a dog called Bambi when I was a pick.
Bambi is it's a
what
buck.
Happened?
That's why it was
called. Is his mum? Okay.
Hey?
Is his mum? I'm doing a Bambi joke. Just keep going.
Okay, no. Oh, yes. All right. No, you remember in Cape Town there were always those fire posters.
Yes.
With this big
Medibuki.
Medibuki.
Oh, my God.
And he feared. And
that. depressed me as a child.
No, no, it freaked me out beyond. I still can cry when I think about it. And anyway, so we at that time when all those were around, we had a Bambi. And Bambi was a brilliant dog. And she lived with me from the time I was in standard one, which I must have been about seven, to fourth year varsity. But my good heavens, when she went, it was
heartbreaking.
I can still. Mm. Then I had a wonderful chap called Dweezil Malteser Malone.
You love to give them.
Is that when
double barrels?
Excuse me, they need dignity. You know, they've got to have status. And so, Dweezil Malteser Malone was also a Maltese terrorist, given to me in the middle of a rabies scare when we were doing Arabian Nights in Durban.
Arabian.
Yeah. Arabian Nights.
And Nights.
And I had to try and get this dog out of Natal. I thought, you know, because in those days I used to wear rent-a-tent kaftans and the hippie clothes.
I don't know what any of those words mean. rent-a-tent kaftan.
That's, you're too young, my darling. It's, you know, it was there by the 70s.
Break it down like...
80s, early 80s, and I used to be known as the myopic late Janice Honeyman in a rent-a-tent kaftan. Janie Allen once started an interview like that about me. Darling. Keiko Lake said no.
Keiko Lake said no, yeah.
Yeah, but so there was Dweezil Malteser Malone, who was my son, and came everywhere with me, appeared in shows. Oh. It was never we never thought that a show would do well unless Dweezil had gone onto the stage and done a quick pippy on the
curtains.
Was he
like the good luck charm?
Yeah, he
good
was
luck.
Like the mascot, you know.
And that's fantastic.
There was Dweezil, and I have had many, many dogs that I absolutely adore, and cats.
And cats,
yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
Do you have a combination sometimes that they grow up together?
Oh, they absolutely do. All this that's thing like dream. Fighting with cat and like cat and dog is ain't like rubbish. Yeah.
They love because each other.
They love each other.
I could never manage that.
No. You must try.
Yeah, but how do you do that from childhood together
yeah,
or what?
Kitties, a kitty and a puppy.
Oh,
because I love cats for their little eccentricities.
Yeah, yeah.
But a dog for love and loyalty, a cat for the bitchiness, I think.
Yeah, and snobbishness. And yeah. Excuse me, I don't need you. And
yeah.
And don't about see them. Me as codependent, not me.
And when at last it goes you feel so wonderful.
You feel honored.
Oh, you feel honored. It's such a lovely sound.
And then there's
sound.
Also that thing of the cats with their...
The kneading.
Oh,
the
kneading.
My old dad done a plek with Biggie Sears. He was always right on the sensitive...
But when so I need you.
Yeah, yeah. As long as you need me. Don't sing, Janice. Don't sing. Please don't sing.
You've got such a wonderful sense of humor. I love it. And it comes through in your pantomimes, obviously, because you write them. But you're also serious, because you've done a lot of The Color Purple. We absolutely loved, eh?
Yes.
Is there a play you haven't done?
I think there's a lot, Christian.
Like, I looked up a thing, and it kept scrolling. Like, it didn't stop. Just like 150,000.
Well, not 150,000, but probably about 250 in my life.
That is insane.
You know, I've been...
That is so
I hesitate to say so, but I've been a director for 50 years.
Amazing.
What metal is that?
Heavy.
Heavy.
Heavy metal.
Can I just acknowledge the presence of beautiful Shemaine Harris in the room?
Thank you,
Hello, Shemaine.
Morning.
You can come closer. Come closer.
Yes,
welcome.
I'm not late, you know, because I'm just bad at time.
No, we planned it like this.
Hi, Janice.
Hello.
Really good to meet you.
Lovely to meet you,
know?
You too. And
I love your work.
I know this is not television, but I love the color of your nail polish.
It's like a fusion.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I love your work.
Yeah. Thank you.
And Sunday was amazing. I'm still a little too far.
You're too far, Shemaine. I can't hear.
Man. Ken's feet is going to, if I roll further, his feet. I'll just hang on here.
Is Kent with you now?
Yes.
Oh, sweet.
Every dog loves me. Anyway, I digress.
Well, welcome.
Sunday was amazing. Mm.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, I loved the show.
It was amazing, eh?
Amazing.
Now, we're busy with the ernstige plays now. If I gave you a budget, like a Cirque du Soleil budget, I said, do whatever you want, Janice, what play would you do? Or opera or whatever.
If you gave me that, I would do a series of Verdi operas. I would do La Traviata.
Yes.
Rigoletto.
Yes, I love them.
And probably that Scottish one that we are not allowed to mention say. The name of.
Yeah. Do you know that, Christian? You can't say that word.
Why?
Because it's a thing in the theatre. We even like though we're not in a theatre, theatre yeah. people don't want to say the name.
They don't want to say that name. And if you do
can
say
I Google it and say it out loud?
No.
Bad just luck Google the Scottish play and say, oh, I've read it.
He has to learn, people.
He has to
learn. No, you can't do it. And if you do, you've got to turn around three times, whistle, and fluke your three worst flukes that you know.
Is this for real, though?
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
I think
don't mention it on the radio.
I'll see if I can find it and then say the first letter.
Don't say it. Just say you. I think you're a bit too sensitive, Janice, because this is a fucking radio station, but still. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's not say it.
M?
Yes.
Cool. Okay, that's it.
With a terrible wife. He's got a terrible wife.
Oh, and she's got a dark old spot. He doesn't want to go out.
Yeah. Out. And he says, out, damned spot. Oh, nee, when he quote me, no, mutter, look. Paka. Okay.
No, but the spot is the dog.
Yes, no. Interesting. Of course, yeah.
So and he doesn't want to go out. Mm,
yeah.
But that is interesting, eh? That's so you're going to... So.
What happens if you perform this play? Is that just like you die?
You know what? I think it came from it being a play that's full of evil, but also that when people performed it, very often because there are fights and there's killing and there's all sorts of things in it and spookery.
People would get hurt and then...
I think that people would get hurt and it became an unlucky play.
Is it like The Exorcist? Like all the drama that happened with The Exorcist?
Do you know something?
I know some because things.
I know you know a lot of things. But one thing you don't know is that I was so bung of The Exorcist that to this day I've never seen it.
Fascinating.
Really? I won't go in because
it's
I'm
such
too
a funny
scared.
Movie.
Is it? No. Really?
I don't think it aged that makes well.
I think it is.
But for us in that time, that was first time groundbreaking. Yeah. Everyone copied that now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you almost felt if you went to see that movie, you would be under its spell. And so I've never seen it. But I just thought I'm not opening myself to that.
There's a lot of like really cool cursey trivia about it. I think the girl that played like one of the characters died. There was a serial killer like in one of the scenes. They didn't know he was a serial killer. In the scene where she goes for the MRI scan or the CAT scan, I can't remember. In that scene, that one of the doctors ended up being a serial killer, mass murderer. Ooh. So there's a lot of like crazy stuff that happened
in that
movie.
It's interesting you say serial killer because Casper, in those days, and yes, Jongenus for Eggers, but in those days,
barely
there was, you know, there was that chap, Willington Place, John Christie, whatever his name was. There was one person that you thought he did a lot of. The word serial killer didn't exist. Mm. You didn't think that people just went and killed people
that,
over and over and over
that
again.
That guy in America who killed the kids. Are you talking about him?
Oh, no, not him. Dharma. Was he called Dharma? What was he?
No, Dharma, I also know.
Like he was the one that was... Did he eat people? He didn't eat people.
Yeah, he ate as well.
I think
he was hungry. Yeah.
Shame.
But there was a guy in Chicago who was a clown, but Gacy. Also killed... I thought you were talking about
him. No, Gacy. John Wayne Gacy?
I thought that's the name she said.
No, it was a guy. I don't know why I can't just on the spur of the moment remember his name.
Age.
Yeah, that is. It's a disease called AGE. O L D.
Give me some details, and I'll probably like. No, was it the Manson murders? Is it the?
But can we stop this horrible discussion? Because we were busy doing the Scottish play. In Las Vegas, with a lot of money, with Janice, getting a budget from that French guy in Canada.
Yeah, and they will be the operas, because I'm absolutely wild about opera, and I haven't done an opera for a hell of a long time, so it's time again to do that. And
bring operas back.
La Traviata is one of them that I really want to do, but you know the other thing that I've seen, which is fantastic, is... Honestly, I saw this in a room maybe the size of the outside of the studio and the inside here, it's just this area. A Traviata in a palace in a lounge in Venice.
Oh my God.
With a cast of about 5. I think that was that. They cut out all the choruses and everything. And, you know, Sempre Libre was sung here next to me. I looked up the lady's nose.
So you didn't even need those, like, binoculars.
No opera glasses. You were right in there. You could see every last detail. And it was the most amazing experience.
Yeah, but that's unique.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard of a word this this week called niche.
Yes.
That's very niche. Mm. Because a lot of people won't appreciate, but you could appreciate. It's fantastic.
No, I did appreciate it, and I would love to be able to do one. But my Traviata, when the Cirque du Soleil man pays for me, is not going to be like that. It is going to be so bloody lavish.
Please. Mm.
People will just...
Flying.
Don't spare a penny.
Yeah. I want flying in the air.
Everything. I'll give you anything you like.
And they can. We have the sound inside the chairs.
Yeah.
Please.
Yes, okay.
Okay.
And not this thing so that you have to look at half the stage and half the sitter.
No.
There'll be the whole... There'll be a little thing right on your seat here with the words going past.
Absolutely.
You can check if you get lost.
He will pay
like
for
an
it.
Airplane seat thing.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd exactly. be nice.
But just better. The Cirque du Soleil
will be better than an airplane seat.
I'm going to call that guy now. I think his name is Guy. I think it's Guy, but they say Guy.
Guy, yeah. Guy.
I'm going to call Guy.
Yeah.
And just find out.
You know the other day was Guy Fox.
You're right.
Janice, what's the last movie you watched in an airplane?
I never watch movies in airplanes.
Fascinating.
Are you scared? Never.
No, because I can't bear the fact that the sound is as bad as it is. I can't bear the fact that I've got old sight and so I can't see. The screen probably is too small. So I need a big magnifying glass if I want to watch it.
Okay,
I always bring your own earphones. That helps a lot.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a tip for next time.
But then you always watch the other people's movies instead.
Yeah, you think, oh, they like a little bit of sauce. Oh, that one looks that one looks 58, but he likes children's films.
Okay. A little creepy.
Yeah.
Well, so we have dealt with the fact that you've done so much and it's such a repertoire of things. But something that has eluded me for a couple of years was working with you.
I know.
We sort of, like ships in the night.
One time we nearly did.
It was.
It was Met Permissie Gesê of Ian van Duyn.
That was a pantomime. I can't even talk about it. It was years and years ago, and I nearly could do it, and then I couldn't.
Yeah, that's right.
And then our ships passed again, and I thought, I want to do the banter at one stage. How do I get this information across to Janice Honeyman? And somehow it got across because we got an announcement.
We have an announcement to make.
And that...
No.
What?
Like, sit down at home, folks, because this is going to... You're going to be shocked.
Who is playing Henry Hidiosa in Jack and the Beanstalk? Who is playing that little, evil, naughty, nasty, dwarfy, bad-breathed halitosis Henry? Casper de Vries.
Yeah! And that'll happen in the year of our Lord 2019.
Boy, if I said people are going to lose 2 kilos, baby, wait.
Baby, wait. I got some baby weight.
You know what happened to me was I had puppy fat, and when I turned 42, it turned to middle age spread overnight like that. I never got rid of the one.
Shit.
And then, boom. I had the next. It's not fair.
It's not.
But listen, lovely, you're going to have a lovely time.
I'm looking forward to it.
You're going to sing, dance.
Yay.
Breathe fire.
I can do it all.
I know you can.
I can't breathe fire, but I'll learn for you.
I've got tricks. Up my sleeve. Okay. Or your sleeve.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Teach me something like that.
Okay.
How are you going to top this? Like, what is next year's 3D?
Sorry, have you heard the name?
That's how we top.
Oh, cool. Got it.
De Vos. De Vries. Vilius. What the hell is his name? No, how is she going to talk?
Do you have some ideas up your sleeve?
Yes, but let me be quite honest. It's not so easy. This was a spectacular.
You went all out.
We went all out. But we've got all sorts of other things. Okay. I mean, we've had pantos with full-scale London buses on it.
Oh,
we've had helicopters landing on stage, real army helicopters. We've had an ice rink once before, long ago, not as good as this ice rink. We've had tiny ballroom dances, but the 3D, we're going to have to find a way.
You have to find a way to top 3D. That.
You're going to have to get a real dragon.
There's something.
No, but there's a giant.
You're going to have to get a real giant.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We're going to hunt in Norway for someone.
But a real, somebody like, what's that very tall man who was in Pinocchio?
Geppetto?
Is he No, he's also a very tall man. But
Liam Neeson?
You know, oh, that would be nice.
Get the Game of Thrones, the guy that's like, what's his
name?
Yeah,
the Game of Thrones. Yeah. He's Nordic.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. No, we're going to have to get a really big giant. But
in 3D.
In 3D.
I think.
But that's why I think the 3D must be a standard now with every pantomime. You can't take it out again.
Okay, what was that Guy guy's name? Because we'll have to ask him.
I'm going to ask Guy for... Yeah, just hang on.
Yeah.
I've got his number somewhere.
Okay. Well.
But it's a wonderful thing to look forward to be in Jack and the Beanstalk next year. I just want to tell you that Kent does perform.
Okay, good, good.
So we can look for a little part for him.
Yeah, is he trained?
Very.
Okay.
He's very good.
But he's too pretty to be your dog.
We will make him ugly. Make up, can I say those two words?
Okay.
Costumes.
Ruffs.
He can literally jump through hoops.
Spikes.
He can literally jump.
Can he?
Yeah.
Okay, well, listen, he's got a year to learn a few. And I don't know whether you can not teach a old dog new tricks.
You can.
I'm an old dog. I can learn new tricks. You can.
I can.
So can he.
Or, I think we got a wonderful gimmick here, and that's with Kent. But we'll discuss.
Okay, okay.
But
do you
then,
ask for a salary or not?
Kent, no. He doesn't.
Okay, so we don't have to find
He doesn't know about money.
It's not in the unions. Yeah.
He doesn't know about
heels, though. He loves heels. So.
Oh, okay.
And little, like, built-on things, yeah. But he doesn't know about money. Don't confuse the kid.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
So I wish you all the best with Snow White. It is a brilliant production. People rush to see it.
At the Joburg Theatre.
And I'm very excited. Theatre.
Yeah.
Theatre. Can you get out of the theatre, please? I've got to phone Guy and just get some money. Yeah.
And if I can just say a quick thank you to my team, because that...
Of course!
You know, we're all saying how wonderful it is and blah, blah, and clever. Fantastic team between Timothy LaRue, Nicol Sheraton, Coonrod Roll, the musical director. They all just gave absolutely everything.
And that
the
shows.
Actors did too. And so they deserve as big a thank you as I do. And I'd like to express that.
That's nice. Okay. Yeah, and
Bernard,
it comes
as a brilliant producer.
Bernard's stunning.
Janice, can I just ask something?
Yeah.
I'm late, so you might have answered this already.
Okay.
Do you have grandbabies?
I don't have grandbabies. It's one of my biggest regrets. But I've got doggy grandbabies. Okay. And I've got many, many great nieces, great nephews.
Okay, they count.
Love,
they count.
And they okay, they do
Oh, count. They count. Yeah.
Oh yes, then I've got.
So
I have some grand nieces and nephews.
You're talking over each other.
They're reminiscing over children. Like,
this is so beautiful. The young people and the babies. No, last year, I acquired 6 grand nephews and nieces, and one's on the way. By January, it'll have extended to 7.
Awesome.
So
are we talking humans now?
We're talking humans. Dickeners,
Teal,
Voxhound.
Philip and Lisa's children. Hulle het sommer almal net geproduce. I do one sort of producing.
Yeah.
They do another.
They do the...
Yeah. So
like an iPhone factory.
I love children, and I love...
Yeah, because I want to know how they experience you, because you must be phenomenal in their eyes. I mean, I think if I had a grand like you or an auntie like you, I'd be like, yeah.
But they're like 12 months old now, so they're like barely...
They don't know.
Don't have object permanence yet.
No, some of them are two. One of them turned 2 the other day.
Okay.
And that's amazing. They know what they're doing at 2.
And he dressed up as Curious George, the man in yellow. And he just looked fantastic. The other best picture of him that we've got is completely stark naked playing an electric guitar at 2.
Rock star.
Yeah.
Hello.
Sweet man. It's so neat.
And they all got to discover.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your work.
No, they. Yeah. By the time they're 4 and 5, by the time they're 5, they'll all be in. They'll be whistling, screaming.
Okay.
Oh yes, you didn't. Oh yes.
But I will be there next year. If you want to maybe expose them to, like, expose is not a good word.
It's not a good word.
In the Me Too era, hey.
No.
But I'm there. Yeah, okay.
Introduce them. Yeah. Introduce them to
#Me Too. Me Too.
Are you okay?
So you know how that thing works, where if you're like fabulous and your children and their children and the extended family know it, but the whole world makes such a hoo-ha of you. They go like, I don't see it. So they might just be looking at you guys and going, ah,
but that's we're Tatum, out of here. That's Tatum O'Neill.
No, you know, Tatum, Paper Moon. There is an age that one, just as we as old ladies, not you old, but me, have to accept that when they get to 12, 13, 40, you are so uncool. Mm. We are just so uncool.
That's then nature. By the mid-20s again, you become back to importance
in
their lives.
It's nature because you got to go away from the home.
Yeah.
You can't stay. Then you get incest. So that's why at 13, 14, they are irritable and they want to get out. But now we've growing older longer at home. But that's actually why it's there.
Yes.
Quickly, we got 1 minute. I want to know how many pantomimes you've done and what is the rotation, your favorite rotations? So we got Snow White, we got Jack, I've seen already. I've seen Pinocchio.
Aladdin. We've got Jack, Aladdin, Snow White, Sleeping Beauty, Cinderella. Goldilocks, which I'll never do again.
Why? What happened?
Man, what's the story? There's a girl is walking in the woods. She comes to a cottage.
And then she stays at the cottage.
There's three chairs. She sits on one. It breaks. There's something else. There's some cold porridge. She eats some and it's gone.
There's not much of a story
there. She goes upstairs and there are three beds and she falls asleep and three bears come in and they say, oh, look who's in our bed. Off you go.
And you know a bear is an old gay man.
Well, is it?
Yeah. So it's three old gay men and a young girl. With locals.
Very LGBTQ plus positive.
I'll never do that one again because circuses and villains and Mark Lotterington was divine in it, but to have to write a part with nothing was so. No, I won't do Goldilocks again. I've got Sinbad's African Adventures, Robin Hood and the Babes in the Wood.
You've nearly mentioned 16 already.
Yeah, I know. And then we do them.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because I'm a girl. I love doing the girls' ones. They're sweet and they're romantic. And
they
all have a little
ones.
Cry and, you know. And
you know, they are like, if we can come full circle now, The Exorcist.
Yes.
Our pantomimes are these stories. Mm. Everyone copies from them.
Yes. They are the foundations.
The foundation, like Cinderella, Snow White, Jack and the Beanstalk. Those are the classics. Yeah.
Will you ever do Frozen, the pantomime?
Let it go. Listen, if Frozen, you know, if we were allowed to do Frozen,
because I can play Elsa.
Okay.
I'm passing myself.
He has a penchant for ladies' clothing, so it's done. And the makeup is fantastic, so it's done.
Well, you said a penchant, but or a penchant. I think you need a bloody big pension to be able to wear ladies' clothes.
You see, there it comes out. It's the humor. We're going to end up with the 2023 production of the Janice Honeyman Rigoletto, which will be performed in Las Vegas. So here is a little extract from that. Janice, thank you so much for being here, and I'll see you soon. Hey, I'm talking to you.
I'm listening.
Bye. Pram 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 pram. Oh, that is. Do you know opera, Christian?
My knowledge of opera is in cartoons when the lady with the horns comes out.
So when the fat lady.
Yes,
sings.
That is the extent of my opera knowledge.
You've got a high voice.
Thank you.
Do it again.
That's the extent of it. That's as much I can do for a month. And see, I lost it there. That's why I'm not a professional singer.
Do you know what you sang from now? What that is?
My throat.
No, man. I mean, what opera is that?
I have no idea.
Queen of the Night from?
Okay,
good see. Thing this is not a live show, because otherwise that would have been really
Yeah, that would be so fucking depressing.
So I have to ask
Where
you.
Are you? There.
I'm Shemaine.
I have shame.
Hello, Babas.
Hello, Yella.
Hello,
Yella.
She know? I think...
It's Queen of the Night, Mozart.
Thing is kicking my ass.
Okay, tell me what don't you see?
I don't see Harris here.
But apparently it's Harris.
Harris, okay. I don't see Harris here. I shudder to say the surname because I'll be wrong with that as well. So I don't see Harris.
Okay, what I'll do...
Metz is here.
Well, are we going to call him on the air?
No. What I'll do is I'll quickly check my email and just see whether maybe I got a email from the publication people who said they've got problems or whatever. But I think, do you know opera? Can you explain Mozart to him?
No.
He didn't know what the hell he was singing.
I know what a Mozart is.
No, I don't know.
It's like when you paint Mozart.
Do I have a funny magic flute?
I don't.
Mozart.
What magic flute? Where are you? Hello?
Sexual.
That comes
it's sexual.
From the
it's
magic
sexual.
Flute. That's the Queen of the Night
Not
aria. From
fluid. The magic fluid.
The magic
That's
flute.
What we call sperm.
Oh.
And then when you see it, you go...
This is a day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, you know, with all its
things. Am I losing my mind? He is on about magical instruments. You're quoting the Bible, and Gaspar is singing opera. What is happening?
I'm trying to stay focused and
No, you're not
good.
Focused, honey. You're not focused.
Yeah, he's speaking about sperm. I mean, come on now. Any woman
now.
Would be like sperm.
Come
there,
on,
there
Eileen.
Is,
come on,
stuff
Eileen.
Like that.
Listen, we had to play this. Shemaine, I am absolutely amazed.
Why are your glasses? What is happening?
It was Shemaine. She sang my glasses
she
off.
She knocked your glasses off.
With that. But listen, listen.
That was bad.
We discussed earlier uh-huh. The girl in the spider's web and first man. The first
That's
time.
It. That's
so I got a sting for that. We haven't played that for 3 years, and the show's been on air for 5.
So there might be some dust.
Let me just play that.
Gaspar's radio show.
Movies.
Oh, no, that's wrong. Culture.
I could actually lung class.
Okay, that was for Janice.
Enige sting gehoor.
Okay, that was for Janice. Let's play it again.
Gaspar's radio show. Culture.
That was That was Snow White the pantomime. Okay, so apparently the movie one isn't here. What one is this? Oh, that's the movie one.
Culture.
That's sweet.
Aww.
Oh, and movies and television. Movies and television.
Are we quizzing now?
No. We actually, it's a very good segue.
Okay, good.
And... We are talking about a TV thing that I asked Christian to watch. It's on Netflix. It's
oh
on BBC
God,
as well.
Ready.
And I don't know if you people know about it. It's called The Bodyguard.
Just Bodyguard. Sorry.
I do. It's a BBC.
Called Bodyguard.
It's a British thing here with a... Yeah, I do. Ooh. What do you want to say about
Have
it?
Have you watched
it? I watched three or four, maybe
Okay,
five.
That's very nice, so that you can include, we can include
you. Can include you.
Have you watched it, Bernard?
No, not yet.
With Robb Stark from Game of Thrones?
No, it's on my list, it's there. I just finished Sabrina first, and now I'm going to go over to...
It's only 6 episodes. It's not like a massive time investment.
Okay, but Shemaine sounded a bit... Did you see? There was an attitude there?
No, but is she on Instagram? What's she doing?
Not.
What is happening?
She's like... Yes, I watched it.
She's like setting up a Monopoly board. Like, what is happening here?
Oh, come on, guys. What is it? Is it like bitch Shemaine playing today?
Are you okay? No! What is happening, Shemaine?
Hey, Shemaine. What? Last week, I think I had a fever with my tummy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I wasn't feeling well. And I called you a colored bitch at some time.
Not and just it, once, and, like and, 8 times.
And it felt so good you had to say it again today.
It was the fever.
No, it wasn't.
I think, it's, you know, when people die, they say things.
No, you know.
And I think that's what's happening. So, no, fondly talk about it on the memorial.
Do you remember that guy, Isaiah, I think it's Washington, who, when he called that guy.
He was fired.
Yeah, he was fired. And then he
Sorry, just
back,
tell the people.
And then, he's with.
Also the Passion of the Christ guy, right? Didn't he like slander Jews or something?
No, you're speaking about
Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson, the yeah.
He had a Jewish moment there, didn't he? Like where he like bashed.
Yeah,
the Jews.
He bashed the Jews.
No, apparently he has issues with Jews, Jews and blacks. So it's it's like
racist
a
racist pig.
So I don't know if he has something about you people you.
Can I tell you a funny story?
LGBTQ and whatever
plus.
Yeah, it's
plus
every community. Day there's another one.
when you start to forget the letters, just say plus.
Yeah.
Thank you.
LGBT plus.
L plus.
What's the other one? Liquid, hey. L, liquid. This liquid sex.
That's disrespectful of my mouth.
Liquid is that you don't, that you flow between male and female.
Oh, fluid.
Oh, that one.
I think you'll appreciate this. Not appreciate this. This is a funny story.
I don't know. Fluid, I'm thinking in different ways. I haven't heard the whole
I'm segueing.
Thing.
I'm segueing.
What kind of fluid are we talking about? Are we talking about fluid as in juices?
The
or are we
fluid
talking about
that is changing
fluid as in
the topic.
Movement? Or
okay. We were talking about what you were supposed to say.
I was
going
to add on to you.
I had a running tummy. Don't talk about fluids.
So
I just want to say sorry that I called her a big, fat, colored bitch when I was in... having a fever.
But there's fat as well.
Because I think you added fat now.
Did I?
Oh my god,
I got a fever.
And therefore the apology is not accepted because it's not meant.
It wasn't an apology.
So the bodyguard
was
on
Netflix. Why would you say sorry then?
Why is everyone shouting? Why is everyone going to...
Can we just... Okay, I'm going to switch off all the mics. I'm just going to... My own mic's going to be on now. So let's just get this... Okay, they're all laughing, some of them are coughing. I don't know whether I should have mentioned the colored thing. Janice said that it's going to be a very hard interview that I have up next, but the guy didn't pitch. So I'm actually quite glad about it because apparently you can't understand him that well, but maybe he's listening. I don't know, but we love you. He's got a book out called Stefendas, The Man Who Killed Apartheid, but he's not here.
It's quite a hard interview if the person is not here.
I know.
I'm actually quite disappointed because I looked forward to this interview.
I know. I punted it to you and I said, because Christian wouldn't know what Stefendas is. Bernard might have heard the word, but we know what he did. He killed Ha Efrevoet and he was... pictured as being as mad as a hatter by the National Party, and apparently he wasn't.
No.
And apparently it's all planned, and he was against apartheid, and so it wasn't the act of a madman.
Yeah.
And this is what this book is about, but we're not going to discuss it because the writer isn't here.
Yeah, it's a big pity because, I mean, he really gives you some insights from, you know, the state side. He gives you also the Mozambican side. He gives you Tsafenda's side. It starts off, it starts off really light and you go like, oh, well, Tsafenda's, well, if you were afraid of the gallows and everybody conspired to have this moment with you and
this is
lie
not
to
light.
Everybody.
This is horrifying.
I know, it's for your show.
You know, and then you know, well, good for you, and then let's move on. But then as he progresses with the story, and I mean, he tells it in such an amazing way, it's really readable.
This is Harris now.
Harris.
Harris.
According to Casper, it's
Janice.
Harris.
Janice. Janisa said it's Harris.
Harris. I don't know how to say his surname, but it do cements. I don't know. Anyway. So
she says he's a wonderful man, yeah?
Is it? Mm. And then you see the conspiracy, and then you see how these men who rule the country actually just covered their asses, from ridicule and from being exposed, you know. So apparently this Tsafenda's was an amazing human being, and everyone vouched that he was super sane. And when you read the book, obviously the man's not here now, so I can't ask him. When you read the book, you inclined to say, oh my God. So what it does, it then makes you go and find the other literature that you've had through the years of, you know, paintings offend us as having this tapeworm thing.
And, tapeworm, you know, talking about that.
You know, and so you find yourself going to the other literature that preceded this, like this Dutch guy, Van Vulden, who used to live in South Africa as a child. And he was like, he punted this from what I'm reading, as according to Harris, this myth that this man was totally mad.
How can a totally mad guy get a work in Parliament? What I want to
get
know.
A work in.
But that's
you know what I'm saying.
A job,
job, yeah. And I'm sorry, I'm old.
And he was a revolutionary. I mean, this guy had a track record of, you know, doing revolutionary things with, and he was a communist. And they dropped the ball, and so somebody had to pay, and it was him. And nobody was going to tell the truth. And according to this, I mean, if you can read this book, it's incredible.
How did he kill the guy?
With a knife.
Stabbed him.
Whoa, that's some Julius Caesar shit right there.
Like he says four times.
Oh.
Yeah. So, I don't know, but if you read it, it's beautifully told. The little bit that I've been reading so far, it's truly beautifully told. It's easy to understand.
We were supposed to get the hard copy today as well of the fucking book.
Were we? So there's the thing. Apparently, it's supposed to come out in 2019.
Oh.
But now...
Are we
I don't know.
We're in the future.
I was going to ask him about it because I was like...
Apparently, he can't understand it, which is good.
But the book is out on Amazon already.
Oh. So yeah. The Americans...
Is it out on Amazon?
It's out on... how do you think I got to read the stuff.
I thought I sent it to you.
Oh, did you get the Kindle version?
Oh, no, you didn't send me nothing. Oh. You don't send me nothing except commands.
Oh, my darling, I'm so sorry. And bitchy words.
Yeah, mean.
I know.
Slurs.
Yes, on Amazon.
Christian, let me quickly tell you, before I forget, when I was young, there was this show called Casper Rusper Show.
Yeah, I watched that.
Are you going to fucking go somewhere now?
I don't know. I'm getting, like, hand signals.
And, there I did, I quickly want to tell you something, I did a Stavender sketch.
Okay.
Where I played him talking to a tapeworm, because that was like...
See, I would not get that at all.
That was what people thought.
I would watch that and be like, what? I don't get the joke.
He's here now.
My parents would be like crying from laughter. Like, I don't get it.
Okay, while we bring him in...
Yes.
Tell us about the bodyguard.
Yeah, I was like, this is going to be such a great segue.
Okay, so do that. And
should I get
Dory,
him?
Bring him in.
I can.
Harris, bring Harris.
You've watched The Bodyguard, right?
Yes.
A little bit. We're not allowed to spoil much of it. But have you been enjoying it so far?
Yeah, you know what? I'm a little, how would I say? My attention span is crazy limited. So what I do love about it is the darkness about it, but and I'm finding it a little slow.
Oh, I found it very fast. Like, it feels like so much happens in six
episodes. Oh, for fuck's sakes, then I don't know.
No, you're allowed to disagree.
Oh, no, then I don't know.
Our guest has arrived.
It started off slow, but eye candy, yes.
Just tell him hello.
Hi. So how do you say your name? Harris or?
Harris.
Harris.
Yes.
Harris.
Harris, yes. You can call him Harris.
Awesome. Oh. Okay, cool.
It is not shortened for my... Are we on air? Are we on air?
Speaking to the mic. Yes.
Okay. No, the name is Haralampos, but it is...
Haralampos.
Haralampos, but Harris is shortened for Haralampos.
Okay.
And it is not that I personally shortened it. This is how I have been called since I was born. Oh,
okay, they were just like, this is much easier to say.
So Haralampos is the...
Okay. Hi.
Hi. You are?
I'm Shemaine.
Shemaine, nice to meet you.
Harris.
Harris. Very nice to meet you.
Now I'm actually saying my surname. I'm messing with you.
My surname is Harris.
So I was just... Yeah.
We might be related then, eh?
Oh, no, I don't think so. How do we say your surname?
Dusemetzis.
Dusemetzis. Okay, cool.
Okay, this is Christian.
I'm Christian. Hi.
Very nice to meet you, Christian.
Nice to meet you, too.
Very nice to meet you.
And I'm Casper, or Casper, or Castos, or Caspus, or whatever.
Very nice to meet you, Casper.
Thank you.
I'm very, very, very sorry for being late.
No, we were worried, but I'm going to tell you a story. And this is Bernard.
Bernard?
Hi.
Very nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Okay, so you can put on your cans if you want to hear. I hope you can hear.
I can hear perfectly like this, yeah.
Okay.
I'm fine.
Are you okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So you know Janet Hanneman. She met you, apparently. She's a famous director in South Africa. She was our guest now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. And I said, she's got to go now because we are going to have the writer of Tsafenda's, okay. The killer of apartheid or whatever. I will say the name correctly now. And she said, fantastic. He's such a sweet man, but you will not understand a word he says. But I understand every word.
Really?
Yeah. I was so scared. And like, he's just got a very nice accent. It's actually quite sexy.
Oh. Huh? I'm a little concerned.
And you're half deaf, so you're fine.
I can hear everything.
So impressive, impressive.
Okay.
He normally hears nothing.
Yeah. So maybe your accent is like triggering the brain to like actually listen a little bit more.
It's triggering something. But when you came in, we were just quickly ending off discussing a program on Netflix called Bodyguard.
Uh-huh.
Have you seen that?
No. I know of it.
Shame on you.
Yes, I know of it.
Okay, so what was our verdict then now?
I say watch it. Shemaine says it's slow.
Well, come on. To me, it dragged. I'm sorry. I'll start watching it again then, okay?
She's just like, it's a white people problem.
Where did it drag?
It's not a white people problem. Maybe I'm just too used to violence that must go like...
It starts with a suicide bombing.
It does!
We're 5 minutes in and a girl's about to blow up
in the bomb. And almost suicide bombing. So
don't
for me,
spoil it, you know, young lady.
They gave me a promise, but they're telling the story too slowly.
Would you rather have
no
a Muslim
man?
Sorry, okay. You asked my
the story is too slow for you. It's too BBC, too British, because it's actually BBC.
No, I love that it's dark. But yeah, come on, can we get off it?
Okay, well, I would watch it. Haris, I would watch it.
Yes.
Okay.
It's really lovely.
My wife watched it and selected.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You see, there you go. So my word doesn't count.
No, it does.
You think it's made
There's
for women?
At least one person in the world that disagrees.
No, I loved it.
No, I'm not a woman. I'm a woman. I watched it and I'm just battling to get through
you didn't like
episode
it.
Four.
Have we got hard copies of the book?
Yes.
Yay! We are waiting for hard copies.
Is the Shemaine book on shelves?
Shemaine was singing your praises now.
Oh, really?
And she read a bit of the book on Amazon because I forgot that I have got a little electronic version which I could have sent to you, Shemaine. I'm so sorry.
But like we said, he just sends me commands. Mm. Doesn't send me any information.
So a hard copy would be fantastic for Shemaine, I think.
Oh, that would be a thrill.
And but if he can sign it for you.
Oh, that would be even better. Ooh. I'll be like, no.
Okay, so The Bodyguard we're going to watch. So, now we're on to your book, which is called...
Can we just...
Yes, let's first.
When you answer, just include when it's released because there are two different thoughts on when it will be
released.
Yeah,
we're not finished. She's not going to have just one sentence and go.
I know.
It was released on Monday.
Okay, so
it's coming Monday.
So
it was
released
on Monday.
Oh, my God.
He said was.
I missed that.
You must listen.
At all the normal bookstores.
Accent.
It must be the accent. You see, you don't understand him. I can.
I have been living in England since 1995.
Yes.
Apart from an 8 years break, but still I cannot get rid of the accent. Not that I tried. I haven't tried. I have no issue with my accent.
I love the accent.
Embrace the accent.
Some accents are embarrassing. This one is wonderful.
I don't care. You know, there are a lot of people who try when they go to England or whatever to speak with the local accent, but...
Who did?
I never bothered.
Okay, if you go to Yorkshire, you're going to try harder.
You think?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Do they judge in Yorkshire?
But we're going to get off the topic.
This whole show is a mess.
The man who killed Apartheid.
Can we just get back to the title of this book by Haris de Mapuso? It's called what?
The Man Who Killed Apartheid.
Yes.
The Life of Dimitri Tsafenda.
Fantastic. And it made me think immediately. I think it's fascinating because we did grow up with the thought that Tsafenda was as mad as a hat.
Mm-hmm.
Hatter. Mm-hmm. And now you think about it, you think, so what was the impetus? What made you think about this?
It's a long story. And
I want to listen.
You want to listen, okay.
Your accent is nice.
Yeah, I was familiar with apartheid and with South Africa. Mm-hmm. The earliest memory I have is from 1990 when Mandela was released. And I remember my mother came to the room and while I was studying.
Where is this now?
Sorry, in Greece. Okay. Sorry. And she took me from my room to come to watch a historical moment, as she said. So she told me who Mandela was, what apartheid was. So this was...
She had spoken to me before about apartheid, but I was young at the time, and I don't have any memories of it.
And so you remember how long we waited for him to come out?
Yes, I know.
I was also watching. And we're going, where the hell is he?
Yeah, but the Greek TV show, you know, the right moment.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was live. I can't remember. Okay. I think actually it should
it
have
been. It was a Sunday or something.
I can't remember. It was long time ago. I was only 13 at the time.
Okay, I'm sorry.
So, yeah, this was my first memory. And then I began reading about apartheid. I've read that there was a man called Hendrik Verfoed who was the prime minister and he was assassinated, but the books did not mention Tsafendas' name. I only found out about Tsafendas after he died, when I read his obituary.
Ah.
So I found it highly surprising. And what struck me initially was the fact that he was given as... the article said that Tsafendas was Mozambican, which he was, but I found it surprising because he had a Greek name. So... obviously, the article said that Tsafendas was the son of a Greek father. So I was surprised because I love history and I read generally, but I had never heard of this man. So it got me curious to find out more about him. So I started trying to find more about him. And later, by chance, I met somebody who knew him. And later, there was an article in a Greek newspaper. Which was entitled actually The Man Who Killed Apartheid. This is where I got the title from of the book. And the article was based in a previous article that was written in 1988 by a Greek journalist who had come to South Africa in the late 80s, and he had spoken to one of the policemen who was in custody, who was in the police station while Tsafendas was in custody. So I began talking to people and they all told me the same things, that Tsafendas was perfectly sane. And that he was a political animal, that he was involved in several political activities, and that he had killed Verfoed for political reasons. Then I came across a few priests. There were 8 in total, and 6
I'm
of them...
I'm sorry to hear that. Sorry, I'm not religious, yeah?
No, I'm atheist too, but yeah. This is irrelevant. No,
I'm joking.
Yeah. Oh, now you're going to start swapping spit.
I know. I'm also.
So you made 8 priests.
Sorry.
Yeah, I made the priests because they were all related to Tsafendas.
Mm-hmm.
They had met 2 of them, knew him before the assassination. One in Istanbul, and one in Mozambique. And some of these priests visited Tsafendas in prison and later in hospital. And Tsafendas confided to one of the priests, whom he knew very well from 1963, but also to another young priest who was visiting him along with his older priest. To cut a very long story short, Tsafendas confided extensively to them about his life and the assassination. And what struck me, it was not the fact that he confided to them and he told them that, yeah, I did it, whatever, etc. It was the fact that all the priests were speaking extremely highly of Tsafendas, with admiration. And I found it very surprising because usually you'd expect a Christian Orthodox priest to be a little cautious when someone who has committed murder.
Yeah.
And the priest not only were speaking so highly of him, some of them were admiring him. Imagine that one of them who is the bishop of the Greek Orthodox Church in Mozambique, in Zimbabwe now, his name is Seraphim Kikotis. He wrote in a book in 2012, I think. That Tsafendas was slandered at the time, that he's a hero, that they call him murderer and crazy, but he was not crazy, he was perfectly sane. So he praised him in the book. And then there was another bishop, the bishop of the Greek Orthodox Church in Mozambique at the time, who is now the bishop of the Greek Orthodox Church in Zambia and Malawi, who met Tsafendas in prison. And in a few years ago, in the opening of a new built Christian Orthodox church somewhere in Mozambique, the priest dedicated the church to Tsafendas. And he told the crowd that Tsafendas was a great hero, that he was perfectly sane, that he has been slandered, that people should stop believing the lies of apartheid, and that Tsafendas was fighting for the independence of Mozambique, and he called him the Greek Che Guevara.
Wow.
And on another occasion, the same bishop performed a memorial service for Tsafendas in Maputo.
Wow.
And on the anniversary of his death. I can't remember now if it was in 2014 or 2015. And before the memorial service, the bishop had distributed leaflets and posters in all over Maputo, advertising the event, and he was calling Tsafendas the idealist and a revolutionary who wanted to end apartheid and to end the Portuguese rule in Mozambique. Mm-hmm. And in his speech again, he praised Tsafendas as being a hero, etc., etc., etc. And two of the priests, those who knew Tsafendas before he assassinated Ferfut, one is Father Minas Constantino, who met Tsafendas in 1963 in Mozambique, and the other one is Father Nikola Banovich, a Greek Orthodox priest as well, in Istanbul. And both, on several occasions, were crying when talking about Tsafendas. They both spoke extremely highly of him, and they both told me that they were praying every day after Tsafendas had killed Ferfut, hoping that he will escape death. Mm. And that he will not be executed.
Mm. Which was a big problem and a big possibility then.
Of course. Of course. It was, if he was not found to be insane, he would have been hanged.
Yes.
Of course.
Charmaine has started reading. She's read further than I have.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you? But you say it's a fascinating read.
It is fascinating. It truly is fascinating. You start off with, you know, it's quite beguiling the way you start off, because you go like, you give the mind a moment where you go like, you know, they colluded. Tsafendas didn't want to die. He wanted to, you know, although you say at that stage, you do call him a courageous man. And then, you know, you get with the security police and you go like, okay, so they colluded. So what's the big deal? And then so you go into it, and then it truly, you know, it capsizes your whole thoughts. So you took 9 years, according to you,
yes,
to do this book.
To do the research, not to write the book.
So just, yes, research was 9 years.
Yes.
And then to write the book further was how many extra?
Including in the 9.
Yes. So,
well, the research finished. Actually, it took about 7-8 years.
Okay.
But then it took me, apart from the book, I wrote a report, mm-hmm, that was submitted by... I gathered a lot of evidence from the National Archives of South, mm-hmm, Africa, from various archives actually in South Africa, from the Portuguese archives and elsewhere. And I interviewed a lot of people who knew Tsafendas.
Mm-hmm.
And
I know, because I saw that. I mean, it's like you said thank you to everyone. I thought, did he leave someone out? I mean, I've never seen so many people acknowledged, you know, at the start of
Yes.
So what I want to know is, for us as South Africans,
yes,
I think that's a treasure.
Thank you very
much. I mean, you've just totally killed a whole lot of people's opinions. You've shifted minds, or whomever's going to read that.
Me think. I mean, I only heard of this book recently, and so before I just assumed Tsafendas was mad.
Yes.
And now immediately I understand. My God, it's a ploy.
Yes. So
it's not.
And I want to, because for us it's important. Why you? Why did you find that this is an important story to tell? Considering that you're not South African. Okay, yeah, he was Greek and he had part of us, you know.
He was Mozambican. It had nothing at all to do with the fact that he was Greek.
Mm-hmm.
I have been researching a case now with the same passion almost as to Tsafendas,
mm-hmm,
which is about a Czechoslovakian Jewish man.
Okay, so this is about the truth coming out for you.
Yeah.
This has nothing to do with I'm giving you South Africans a gift, or I'm, you know, an idealist that thinks...
I would have done the same if he was of any nationality. And as I told you, my research now is about Czechoslovakian Jewish. I'm not Jew and I'm not Czechoslovakian. But still, again, the case is similar with Tsafendas, so I decided to research it.
Mm-hmm. Have you heard anyone coming back at you about the book yet? Any criticism?
Not yet.
Okay,
but it's just out now, eh? I think it would be interesting to hear what the old nationalists have to say now, once they see the context.
Because it's damning.
Yeah.
It is so crazy. It's like these men were just annihilated in this book. You know, because it's like, it's about lies and not wanting
to
be
exposed. Is it like a big conspiracy?
And do you know, I don't think it was so big. The impact it had on people's lives and the whole of the country, I suppose, is huge. Mm-hmm. But I think the initial thing that for them, I suppose, it would have annihilated their lives, the ones in power. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, it's huge. But, you know... But for me, no, it's not. But then I'm looking at it from, I'm not partial to the Afrikaner plight.
But when I say conspiracy, so I just mean wrong. Like but there's a lot of things that were happening behind the scenes that the mass public wasn't really privy to, and that's
still
exposed in the book. Yeah.
That's quite typical. Oh, sorry. Yes.
That's quite typical of South African, the old regime, and telling lies to the public.
Sweet
to
lies.
To hold the power and to like brainwash people, and not only this story, like so many others.
But I'm so ashamed that I just fell for the lie. I just, before you came in, I told them that I'm a comedian as well. So I did a sketch where I speak to hysterical figures, and one of them must offend us.
Oh, right.
And he was as mad as a fucking... I was talking to that tapeworm and everything, because I believed that was how he was.
Yeah. That's what we were fed. And I mean, I think even for the majority of South Africans, even me, you know, who was aware of him, there was always that, because you hear, no, he's sane, and then you hear, no, he's mad. So you always had, you never really knew what the truth was. But with all the information that's locked up in, or that's exposed, I can't say locked up, because once you start reading that, I'm really a fan. So of this book, once you see what's in there, you go like, wow.
And also, like, what else was kept from us, or was still being kept from us?
Yeah. Cool. And the way you write it, it's so easy to read. It's like, you know, like you take the person with it. It's a narrative. Even though you give a piece of information, you go on and then you come back to that. So you kind of like, you go like, oh, okay, now I get that. And then you, so it's really beautifully written.
Just
so
say the name of the book again, because we got to actually move on, unfortunately.
Do you want to say it, Harris?
No, please.
You say it. No. The Man Who Killed Apartheid.
By Harris. Let me
see. Yeah, but
the Dusimetsis.
No. Very good. But it's The Man Who Killed Apartheid, The
Life of Dimitri Tsafenders.
The Life of Dimitri Tsafenders. Doesn't he remind you of Rafael Nadal?
Yes.
I'm just thinking, who does he remind me? How did you play? How did you feel about your game against Roger Federer the other day?
I didn't look at him like that. What I did think was, you're young to have written a book like that. Yeah, I thought you were going to be like 65 or something.
An 80-year-old man.
How old are you now?
Sorry for letting you down.
No, it's great.
I'm 41.
41.
Oh, no, I'm older than you.
You don't look so.
Oh, thank you. Oh, my God. Rafael, I love you. Because you're late, unfortunately, we have to quickly talk about something else.
But
you stay with us.
Yes, I will.
Okay. I just want to say something, and that is that we have to quickly go through the gay news. Hey, Bernard.
Yeah.
But I also want to say there is something that I have to announce.
You also asked us to ask you about a picture you sent.
That's it. And that's what I want to announce. There's a girl called Fifi O'Hara. Who the hell was that, Bernard?
Fifi O'Hara was a contestant on RuPaul's Drag Race Season 4 and also on All Stars Season 2.
Okay.
Yeah.
She is coming to South Africa.
Is she a drag queen or not?
No, it's a girl that was on RuPaul's Drag
Race. The girl, please. So I'm asking, because we also refer to people in drag as she, so I need to know the answers here.
Is she Fifi Licious?
She was part of RuPaul's Drag Race.
She's got a Fifi.
She's got a penis.
Was she like, Fifi has got a Fifi.
So there's a new word, Bernard, that's out. So cisgender.
Are you familiar with RuPaul's Drag Race?
I've like watched an episode.
So you know it's about drag queens.
Yes, that I know. No, that's what I'm asking. Is she a drag queen on the show?
Yes. Now listen.
Got it.
Next week.
Judge or whatever.
Next week at Babylon, the 16th, and I'm planning to be there. Yeah, the doors will open at 8 o'clock, and the tickets are 150 rand. But Bernard, if you come in drag, it's 75 rand. Okay.
Fantastic.
Okay, it is first come, first serve. So get early. There.
There.
You're really good at this live reading thing.
I am, eh?
I actually,
that's what I want to specialize in. They said, what do you want to do?
That's what you want to specialize in.
I want to do live reading.
So well.
Maybe ask, okay, now we're going to ask a question. I was reading a WhatsApp here. So in which season, don't say the word, Bernard. Was Fifi O'Hara? If you know, please.
Season.
Don't say
it's
it.
For the public.
Oh, I'm going to then... I'm going to give away tickets.
Okay.
Now, to people to go for free. Okay.
Okay, but how do they enter, Casper?
They have got to email to Cliff Central.
What is the email address?
Dory.
She's shaking her head. She's losing her. She's getting legal in. Tweet us at Cliff Central.
I don't know what to say.
Tweet us at the Casper Radio Show to enter. Tweet us what season was Fifi O'Hara in.
Yes,
in
with
Drag
your name.
Race. You're with... It's on their Twitter. At the Casper Radio Show to enter to win free tickets to next week's Babylon
You're
thing.
You're so good with the live reading.
Thank you.
Sorry, so all the things I said about Dory and that is all bullshit. It is, you go to the Twitter of the Casper Radio Show.
Yes.
This was obviously not thought through. And then you write which season, which is which, two and Drag Race, eh? And Superstars, what?
No. Google it. Give the answer.
Anyway,
now.
Bernard, can you please
give the answer?
What, season 4 and All Stars 2?
Season 4 and All Stars 2 is the answer. You tweet it to me at the Casper Radio Show, and I will draw your name. And next week, I will announce live the winners who will go to Babylon at 8 o'clock and see Fifi for free. It's very difficult to say that. Fifi for free.
So,
and it's a live show. Where is it, Christian?
At Babylon.
Yeah, and where's Babylon?
Next to Beefcakes.
Yeah, and where's that? Ilobo.
I'm going to quickly segue into gay news because we have 4 minutes.
No, wait. You're off because you were making sweet talk to Harry's. And it was coming across, yeah. And I couldn't have this... What's playing now? What the fuck? Is this a...
Hey, I'm not controlling anything.
It's one of those priests, Harris. It's important just to tell you this before I shut up. Is that we will have a RuPaul queen every month from now on, thanks to Babylon. And that queen will be here. Well, will grace us with her presence.
Yes.
Every month. Okay, what gay news? Quickly.
Lightning round.
Quickly. Queer Eyes Anthony Porofsky.
Okay, next.
Will be that. He's the cooking one, right?
Yes, the beautiful
no
one.
No, either.
Will make his Broadway debut.
Oh.
He divorced his husband.
Yes, but not that.
Okay.
On
what
after
Broadway
7 years,
show?
Shame. It's a...
Name! Give us a name!
It's celebrity autobiography. It's only 4 shows. So where they get celebrities reading... autobiographies of other celebrities, but in a comedic way.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Next up.
Next.
Christian,
Scotland.
Behave yourself.
Scotland is the first country to introduce an LGBTI curriculum in the schools.
That's beautiful. What is
and
that
new?
So does that mean like the books and stuff are LGBT?
It's going to be LGBT history and they're going to fight... homophobia, biphobia, transphobia, and actually educate
Liquid
people.
Phobia.
Hurrah!
And educate people on
which country is this?
Scottish.
Go Scotland.
The Scottish play. Don't say the word M.
Yeah. Next up,
we learned
then,
a lot today. Yeah.
What was that? When he grow up so big and so tall, gonna be a boss in
charge of them all. Started from the bottom to be the best. You can do it. You can do it. Yeah.
In The Simpsons. Any history from another show?
You've lost Harry's now.
A drag.
Harry's was
they're
going to
do a drag episode.
Oh.
Yes. So RuPaul will actually guest star in this episode.
Oh,
but
yes,
not,
he is.
But not as RuPaul. She will play a character called Queen Shantae.
Okay.
And Raja will be on the episode as well.
Oh.
And they will make Homer and Marge into drag queens
Homo.
In the episode. Homer.
Yeah, I mean Homer will be made a homo. This is RuPaul.
Okay.
So we're so apt.
Okay, and
lastly, Colorado voted the first congressman into parliament, or how do you say? Yeah, so it's the first openly gay man.
The Senate.
Yeah, into the Senate. Yeah, I don't know nothing
He's
about that.
You cry Twitter, you cry Kijknet, and you cry Senate.
Senate.
So
it's the first open gay man as a governor for a USA state.
Oh, shame. Amazing. How's it going in Greece with the gay thing, Harris? I mean, are you?
I'm familiar, because my, actually I have a PhD.
You have a what?
I'm familiar because I have a PhD.
In what?
In gay stuff.
Yeah, my PhD is about Jimmy Carter's gay rights policies.
Wow!
Yes. Jimmy Carter, the American president.
Yes. And we know!
Yes, my PhD argues that he played an instrumental role in the development of gay rights in the United States.
My God, Harris. I didn't even know he had that.
The show.
I interviewed all the very prominent gay leaders and prominent gay figures of the 70s for the PhD.
Wow.
Yeah. He's such a good fit on the show.
Your visibility online is like non-existent.
Let's
and
get
you've
you visible.
Done all this stuff. Come on, man. There's not even a picture. No, seriously.
She Googled him last night. Just like,
well, you know when you're going to talk to somebody. Don't you? Don't you?
I find it surprising. Like, you're recent. I like the surprise.
But then what can I say? I'm mid-50s. You're 23.
We have to... She is 49.
55.
Right. Really?
Almost 2 months. Month. Yes. Go ahead now.
Harris, give me a name of a very famous Greek singer which I can play out with, because we have to stop now. I want to talk to you no more, but you were late, number one.
Which is terrible.
I know.
Number two, your book is out called The Killer of Apartheid. Called
The Man Who Killed
Me.
Okay, do you want to say it, Harris?
No, you say it.
Okay. The Man Who Killed Apartheid. Mm. The Life of Dimitri Tsafendas.
Mm. Available at any bookstore.
Yes.
And
now.
Amazon.
Right
and
in this moment. Yeah. You can go check to the books.
A very good Greek singer, please.
Don't say Manana Mouskouri, please. Don't.
No, I want someone we don't know.
Someone we don't know.
Mm. Yeah.
I'll tell you one of my favorites. Is Dimos Moutsis.
Spell?
Jesus Christ.
Demos. Yeah? Moskin for Demos Moutsis. He's a Demos Moutsis. I don't know. I mean, I'm sorry.
Okay, his first name is D. I will spell it for you. D I M O S. And his surname is M O U T for Tango.
Wait. M O U.
T for Tango. S for Sierra. IS.
What are you saying? IS or
IS?
I for India, S for sugar.
Steph, you know, ear is deaf. Age related.
Okay, we are past our time already and I can't find this. I found it.
You found him?
I found him for you.
Play okay.
Okay, what must I play? Oh, Gia Goya Goya Trafach, O Charos Fika Paganina, O Susta Pichini Brosta. Which one?
Could you please repeat the first one? Because I didn't understand. You can play any of them.
I'm going to play that one.
None of them is my favorite because I prefer the songs that he sings himself. These are sung by others and he wrote them.
Yeah, but that's
anyway,
the first
you can play. Yeah,
return
you can.
I got on Apple.
That's perfectly fine.
Okay. Oh? What is that instrument called?
Bouzouki.
Like a small bazooka.
Oh my God.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you very much.
Have a nice flight back to London.
To Newcastle.
And
Newcastle. My apologies for being so late.
No. Is it a Greek thing to be late?
No.
When you come back, which I'm sure you will, you come visit us again.
I will. Definitely.
Awesome.
What has happened? Is he murdering fucking someone in the back there?
Is
it part of his song?
Jesus. Ask him.
Listen to that.
Oh my God.
This is CliffCentral.com.